Hi everybody, it's James Senior here, the Microsoft Web Evangelist for Channel 9, and today I'm joined by Stephen Walther. Stephen, just do a quick introduction on yourself.
Sure. Yeah, hi, I'm Stephen Walther. I work on the Microsoft Ajax team, and we've been working on a new version of the Microsoft Ajax library.
We have indeed. You guys have been really, really busy.
Oh, yeah, I'm exhausted. Everyone on the team is exhausted.
But it's PDC
right
now. All
you say is, yeah, thank goodness it's PDC. It's, you know, the thing is finally done. I'm glad it's, you know, actually out there.
Yep, yep. So big talk today at PDC. You talked about a couple of things.
Yeah, so Microsoft Ajax Library. Yeah, all the announcements around our new library we're giving out there.
Excellent. So lots of big announcements. But before we get to those, let's just recap for everybody, you know, what the Microsoft Ajax story is right now.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So traditionally, we've had a really great story for web forms developers. We've had something called the Update Panel. And what that allows existing web forms developers to do is very quickly take an existing ASP.NET application and then give it Ajax functionality. So instead of having to do a post back whenever you do any action on the page, you can drop in an update panel, and then, you know, magically, you can start making changes to the page without having to post the whole page back to the server every time.
Right. More and more people are expecting those kind of experiences.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I expect it at a website. So we've you know, traditionally had a really, really great story for web forms developers. If they want to, you know, work with server code, if they want to use the existing ASP.NET server-side controls, then the update panel makes it a very easy experience to add Ajax functionality to a website.
Cool. And we also had a set of controls for those guys as well, right?
We've traditionally had, you know, all the web server controls for them to use. And the nice thing is, as soon as you start using traditional web server controls like the button control instead of an update panel, it just works.
Nice. Cool. Yeah. So then flipping over to MVC developers.
Oh, right, yeah.
Client side.
Yeah, so MVC developers have traditionally loved jQuery. You know, it's been they've been super enthusiastic about jQuery. Stack Overflow, a fantastic MVC site. Mm-hmm. They use jQuery, and a lot of developers in the MVC community are, you know, huge fans of jQuery. Mm-hmm. And so we've really embraced Microsoft. We've embraced jQuery because we know our developers are passionate about it, and we want to make it easy for developers to be able to use jQuery in their products. So what we've done is we've integrated jQuery into the project templates for both ASP.NET MVC and ASP.NET Web Forms.
Right. So when you start up a new project in Visual Studio, you get those files ready to go out of the box.
Yep, they're right there. Yeah,
that's exactly. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Hey, and I have to mention the CDN. I love the Microsoft Ajax CDN.
Everybody loves a CDN.
Yeah, how could you not?
Free
love
hosting.
A CDN? There you go. Right.
Worldwide.
Yeah. So we've also, you know, it's important to emphasize that we put up the jQuery library on the CDN. That allows anyone on Earth. You don't have to register or do
anyone
anything.
On Earth. We're working on other planets as well, Nick.
There we go. The moon, maybe. Who knows? But it means that anyone can just put a script tag that points at our CDN and, you know, instantaneously start using jQuery.
Nice.
Yeah.
And the benefits of that are performance, really.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody in the world, no matter where they are, using those scripts can get a local or near-local copy.
Yeah.
And then also, because it's cached many times by many browsers, then it's more than likely going to be pulled down the first time, and then once your website comes to use that file, it's already been downloaded and cached by the browser.
There you go.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what else have we got to talk about today?
Well, so that's what we've done traditionally, the stuff we were just talking about. But I'm excited because we have a bunch of new announcements around the Microsoft Ajax library.
Ah. So announcement number one, then.
Announcement number one. I can't wait. So announcement number one is traditionally we've had something called the Ajax Control Toolkit. Uh-huh. And it's, you know, web form developers have loved it. In fact, it's one of the top two CodePlex projects of all time.
How many downloads per week?
Oh, I'm glad you asked me that. 25,000 on average.
25,000.
It's mind-boggling how many people use it.
That's a lot of downloads.
That is. That's a lot
of
people.
It's not just you, right?
Well, you know, you hit that button over and over again. But no, it's amazing how many people use those controls because, you know, as you said before, people expect Ajax functionality now in a web application. So you need the modal pop-ups. You need the, you know, auto-complete controls.
The watermark.
The watermark. How can anyone live without
the watermark?
It's just insane to try to create a website without at least one watermark in it. So traditionally the way you do that is you download the Ajax Control Toolkit, and that gives you all that extra JavaScript functionality. And the nice thing about the Ajax Control Toolkit is you get all that functionality, you don't have to learn JavaScript, which is very, very nice. Mm-hmm. If you're comfortable using the .NET framework, you want to program in VB.NET or C#, mm-hmm. then the AJAX control toolkit gives you a way to add JavaScript functionality to a website without having to work directly in client code.
Right, and it's drag and drop experience.
Drag and
drop
experience.
You go to the toolbox, and you pick up a control that you like to look of, maybe a watermark, and then you drag it onto your page, and then, hey, presto, you've got AJAX functionality out of the box.
There you go.
So where are we taking that then?
So, so traditionally, the only people who could benefit from the AJAX control toolkit were web form developers, because it was, you know, it was all based around server-side controls.
And there were a lot of controls in there as well, right?
There's 40 controls.
40 controls
There's
to go
40
use.
Controls in the AJAX control toolkit. So that's a lot of good stuff. So what we want to do was we want to enable not only web form developers, but also we want to enable MVC developers to take advantage of all that goodness in the AJAX control toolkit.
Sounds fair.
Yep. And more than that, we've noticed that a lot of web form developers are doing a lot more client-side programming. There's a lot of web form developers now who are very comfortable writing JavaScript, and they, if you want, you know, sort of complete interactivity in a page, working directly in client code in some cases can give you, you know, more flexibility.
And we're seeing that because the tools are getting better.
Yeah, the tools are
because
getting a lot better.
Once upon a time, JavaScript was a little bit of a threatening thing. It was kind of hard to program against, a bit of unknown.
No,
it was difficult.
IntelliSense. Yeah.
That's when IntelliSense was a big factor. So when you came into this managed environment where you know VB and C sharp and you had all this IntelliSense, life was wonderful. Life was good.
Yeah.
But then you got into the client side and the browser and all of a sudden you're flying blind. You're like, is this method right? Did I misspell something? And then debugging. But thankfully, you know, IE8 has got a lot of good debugging in now for JavaScript. So tools are getting better. It's not such
and
a scary place.
Visual Studio. Visual Studio has all that beautiful IntelliSense, which we'll see in a moment. But
I'm looking forward to
all that great IntelliSense. So the first kind of big announcement is we're merging the AJAX control toolkit and the Microsoft AJAX library. And in the process of merging these two libraries together, we've taken the Microsoft AJAX library has traditionally been great for client-side developers. Mm-hmm. The AJAX control toolkit has traditionally been great for web form developers. And so by combining it together, we've given the best of both worlds to each group of developers.
So just to break it down for me, Stephen, because I'm a simple guy, we're making the AJAX control toolkit client-side.
Well, both client-side and server-side.
Right.
So I want to be clear about
that. So I've got a server-side version which exists already, and we're going to continue to add controls and invest in that. However, for client-side developers
Client-side
now,
developers,
MVC,
the world has become a much better place. Because
and I get
now
40 controls.
There you go, 40 controls. Well, almost 40 controls.
Almost.
We don't do the update panel animation control
well, we
on
don't
the
need
client
to do that
side.
One, do
yeah, I know, it'd be kind of strange. But so, you know, less than 40, but still a lot of controls to
That is fantastic news. Yeah, so that was announcement number one.
Yep.
And it comes to the client side.
Yep.
Celebration.
Yeah. Hey, high five. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. All right.
Number two,
we are moving into the CodePlex Foundation.
The what?
The CodePlex Foundation.
Tell me about the CodePlex Foundation.
So apparently I will no longer be working for Microsoft. So
is that I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I know.
I can give you some money.
Yeah,
thanks.
So CodePlex Foundation is it's an independent foundation for Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And it's an open source foundation, much like, you know, the Apache Foundation or the Eclipse Foundation. And what it enables us to do is enables us to take all of the Microsoft AJAX library and make it open source.
Cool.
Yeah, very cool.
So now that it's in the foundation, does that mean we're taking contributions from the community as
Absolutely, that's the plan. Yeah, we want to be able to, you know, work as an open source project and be able to take contributions from the community and keep evolving, you know, all the great controls in the AJAX control toolkit library.
That's great news. I mean, I know the community love the Microsoft AJAX library, and they always love to give us feedback. But here's an opportunity in the future for them to actually get their hands on the code and make changes and have an impact on the product. That is great news.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Anything more to say on the CodePlex Foundation?
No, I think that's it.
Okay.
I mean,
so that was the second announcement.
That was the second announcement. So whenever you say open source,
is this still the second announcement?
No, this is the third.
This is the third announcement.
I'm about to jump into the third announcement. Whenever you say open source, people always bring up the question of supportability.
Good point.
Yeah. So, you know, we have a lot of enterprise customers using the AJAX control toolkit right now. We want these people to be able to use all these great things we're doing in terms of the Microsoft AJAX library. You know, how can we do that? So what we're doing is we're going to offer full Microsoft product support for the Microsoft AJAX library.
Wow. So full product support for the Microsoft AJAX library, even though it's an open source project in the CodePlex Foundation.
Yeah, it's kind of mind-blowing, isn't it?
So we're taking contributions and we're supporting them as well. That's great news.
Yes. I think it's unprecedented.
I think that might be a first. First, you heard it here on Channel 9.
There you go.
Groundbreaking every day.
Groundbreaking.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Cool, so three announcements?
That's the three announcements, yeah.
Wow, big three at PDC. I love it. Good stuff. So, let's see some code.
Absolutely,
enough.
Let's dive
in here.
Well, okay, so I want to show, in a moment I'll show you all the great Ajax Control Toolkit client-side stuff, but I want to start by showing something that probably a lot of you haven't seen yet, the stuff that we've been working on for the Microsoft Ajax library in terms of client-side data access. So what we've been investing most of our energy into making sure that the Microsoft Ajax library is a really, you know, first-class technology to use for building, you know, database-driven web applications, especially database-driven Ajax applications.
Cool.
So what I want to show you first is I'm going to show you this really simple page here. And what this page does is it shows a list of images retrieved from a WCF service. So let me go ahead and run it first so you can see what it does.
Whilst it's running, what kind of other services and data can we consume?
Oh, that's a great question. So, yeah, so we're server-side agnostic. So we'll take data from WCF service, ASMX service, ADO.NET data services. Mm-hmm. Actually, any JSON endpoint we'll go ahead and interact with. So,
nice.
Yeah. So we work great with all the existing, you know, Microsoft data access technology, but we'll also work with, you know,
A Twitter API,
yeah, it's perfect. Yeah, exactly. As long as it's JSON, we'll go ahead and take it. So this is just showing, you know, it's a simple example, just showing a list of images and showing, you know, some titles for each image.
Nice. Are these your photos?
No, they're not. I wish they were. Yeah, so how did we do that? Well, you notice that we have something called a data view control right here, which we're creating an instance of. And here's the actual data view control. And what we're doing is we're attaching that data view control to a DOM element on the page called image view, and we're specifying the URL for that data service. So that's all we have to do to set up the data view control to be able to go out, grab the data, and then it's going to use a template, which is defined down here where the image view is, to be able to format each of the records it's getting back from the, in this case, from the WCF service.
Okay, so that's basic DOM selection up there with the hash tag.
Yeah.
You know that as an ID for the DOM element.
That's right, yep.
And then the other thing that I've got a question about is the auto-fetch.
Yeah, so auto-fetch, tells it to go ahead and actually, you know, go out and fetch the data automatically. Did I just give the property name? It auto-fetches the data.
Okay, so if you set that to false, it won't go do it automatically.
Yeah,
you
won't
go
do
and
it.
Have to trigger it.
Yeah, you have to tell it to
nice
do
Nice option.
It. Yeah, so down here, you can actually see the template that we're using. And this is, it's important to emphasize, this is a client-side template. So if you're used to using something like the list view control on the server side or...
Mm-hmm. The repeater.
The repeater, exactly. Mm-hmm. If you're used to using those controls, when you create a template with those guys, those are all running on the server side, and then they generate, you know, out the HTML, and that's sent to the browser. This is all being run on the browser side. So this is all executing entirely within the web browser.
So the templating engine is being told whatever's within these div tags, go and repeat that for
as
many data items as I've got.
Yeah, exactly. So for each of the photos, it's going to go ahead and show, you know, it's going to show the image by getting the URI from the data source, and it's going to show the name of the photo. So that's all you have to do. You just create a data view, point it at a fragment of HTML, and you can show your, you know, list of images.
Cool. So down here with the curly braces, we got some binding going on. Have we got any other types of binding available?
Yeah. So actually, I'll show you in a moment. We support both one-way and two-way data binding. Mm-hmm. And this is an example of, you know, one-time only, you know, one-way data binding. But I'll show you in a moment where you can actually update data on one part of the page and actually reflect all over the rest of the page. So very powerful stuff. Yeah. So let me show you another example. So sometimes when people see templates like this, they get concerned because they say, well, you know, what's going on with things like syscolon right here for the source, for the image?
That's a good question. What is going on with that syscolon?
So that's a custom namespace. The reason we need the syscolon source here is because if we didn't put a sys in front of the source, it would actually try to load an image named, in this case, curly brace URI.
Which isn't going to work.
That's not going to work, because there's no such thing. So what this does is it actually delays the interpretation of the source attribute.
Okay.
But if you want to remove all of this stuff from your markup, we give you an easy way of doing that. Oops.
having some cursor malfunctions here.
The challenges of the cursor. What you can do is you can make your template look like this. Beautiful, ooh, pristine, I don't, you know, see
that
any?
That is super just, clean.
Yeah, just
squeaky
looks like
clean.
Squeaky clean, just plain HTML. All HTML tags. And if you want to, you have to do a little bit of extra work to do this, but all you have to do is you have to go ahead and create a item rendered event handler, and then you can manually bind the values onto the different, you know, attributes.
So that's the trade-off between the sys colon use and the completely clean imperative
use. So it's a preference thing.
It's a style.
It's a style.
I actually prefer the previous style because you got to do, there's less work to do.
Yes.
But I can understand why, from a standards point of view, you might want to use the second approach here.
It's up to you.
It's up to
we
you.
We give you the power.
Yeah. That's the choice we give you. And just quickly, on the class there, that's for the div, explain to me the sys template thing that's going on.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. So this is used to hide the contents of the template when the page first loads up.
Okay, so you got the DOM rendered, and then JavaScript kicks in and does its magic with the templating.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want it to be showing some curly braces or
some broken image tag or something like that. You want it to, you know, start with everything, you know, hidden, you know, like the curtains closed, and then once everything's rendered, you can, you know, open up the curtains. And
I like that way of thinking about
thank you.
And you might want to put like an animation on the spot there.
Innovation.
You could put like a rendering or loading animation in place
Until that's absolutely done. Yeah, go crazy. Yeah. Sounds good. So I want to show you a slightly more complicated example. This is using, this is showing a master in detail view. So here we got the standard list of images.
We love those.
Click on that.
Well, hello.
Down here, I have some detailed information on the image. And you were asking before about one-way versus two-way data binding.
I was.
And you'll notice that it says pure 9 right now. I'm going to change it to pure 999. And
wait for it.
Go ahead and I'm going to hit tab.
Lose focus.
You're going to have to trust me that I'm hitting tab here.
Okay.
And then look up here, look at under the image, bam. Wow, look at that.
Two-way binding.
There we go. Magically.
Right there.
Everywhere where something's bound to that same, you know, data item, anywhere on the page, as long as it's using two-way data binding,
right,
it's going to be reflected out all over the page.
So behind the scenes, that's enabled because everything is pointing at the same data view, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes
sense. The same, collection of items, and it can, exactly.
And that's all held on the client side, and then eventually we could do an update and send it all up.
I'm glad you asked about
that.
Up to
the server side.
Yeah, yeah. Let's take a look at. So far we've looked at just grabbing the data and showing it.
Yep.
But you can also do read-write scenarios.
Oh, hello.
So, and it's not as, so in this case I'm using an ADO.NET data service. And so what I'm doing is I'm creating something called an ADO.NET data context. That's this guy right here. And the nice thing about ADO.NET data services is they take care of the CRUD for you. Right, because they handle the create, read, update, delete operation.
Yep.
So you don't have to write all that stuff. You just create the service, point it at some data, and it has all of those methods built in. So the nice thing on the client side is there's already conventions around the names for that. So you can just create a data context like this. I'm just assigning it to this first data view over here, and then I'm done. And now I have a read write way to be able to not only display data, but actually update data.
So this is an example of how we provided extra support out of the box for Microsoft Data Platform,
right? Exactly,
So as well as WCF and
Things. Yeah, we work great with ASMX, WCF, ADO.NET data services.
Cool.
Yep. So now, if I click on something and I make a change, I'm going to change it to pure 9999. I just love changing that one thing.
You love your nines.
Yeah, there you go. Let's change the giraffe's name. Giraffe.
Call it Henry.
Henry the giraffe, okay. It would now be Henry the giraffe.
Hi, Henry.
Okay, so notice one thing. We're making a lot of changes here, right? But the important thing to understand is we're not actually updating the server yet because we don't want to be too chatty about this.
And by chatty, we're not, not me and you, just talking here, but actually having a lot of communication between the client and the server.
Exactly.
Because we more requests about...
Yeah. It hurts performance. We don't want to,
You want to batch all of those things up, right?
Yeah. So that's what it does. So we can make all these changes, change the description, and then when we're done, if we have made changes, if I click Save Changes, then it's going to update the database.
Ooh.
So it's going to batch everything up, send it back to the server in just one post operation.
Nice.
And then it's updated.
And this isn't the default message, is it? This is
something
you've
added in here.
This is
my
demo
little,
purposes.
Yes.
Okay. So you could do whatever you wanted.
Yes, you could have a dancing bear or I don't know, whatever you want.
Excellent.
Maybe something even more professional than that.
But. Superb.
So just to show you that that actually did update, let's make sure Henry will reappear when we open the page again. Are you still there, Henry?
There he is.
Oh, Henry the giraffe.
Reliable
so
as ever.
Yeah, so it's been saved. So it's Excellent. Now been persisted on the server side.
Love it.
Yeah, so.
But I've been noticing one line that's consistent throughout your demos we haven't talked about so far.
Yeah.
And that's the sys.require
command.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
Oh, that's a
It's
great
the magic
question.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah. Topic. So remember, what we wanted to do is we wanted to enable everyone in the world to take advantage of our AJAX control toolkit, not only WebForms developers, but anyone, you know, MVC developers using it from the client side. So we sat down and start trying to figure out how to do it.
Cool.
And the first thing we noticed
Scary.
was to use any of the ACT controls, because they're actually written, you know, like real framework controls, so they have base classes and all the good stuff that you want to do when writing a real framework. But the problem with that is you actually end up with a lot of different JavaScript files.
Modularity has its trade-offs, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, there's common, extender, base, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, in this case, this is, I'm trying to use a watermark control.
All of that just for a watermark control?
So there's what? There's like seven scripts in there.
And I'm guessing that all of these scripts have to be included in the right order
that's
as
right.
well.
Yeah, you get.
So if I get that wrong.
Yeah, one thing out of the order is just not going to work.
Wow.
So that's bad. I mean, it does work, but we don't want anyone to have to go through it. And the other thing down here we notice is, you know, here's the standard way of creating a control as of, you know, the ASP.NET AJAX 4.0, and you know, it's not the most concise way to go about writing a control. So we wanted to make all this simple,
good,
super simple.
Simple is good.
Yes. So compare that page with this page right here. So we got it down to two scripts right here.
Wow.
And that's all you need to do. You can add these two same scripts to use any of the AJAX control toolkit controls.
And so what is start.debug.js?
Yeah, so that is the, that's where it's loading the script loader. So the way all of this works is there's a script loader, and the script loader knows automatically what scripts each of the controls or components in the Microsoft AJAX library, which scripts they need, and it can load those up automatically and execute the necessary scripts in the right order.
Hmm.
So it just all works like magic.
And so there's some kind of dependency matrix behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And the
don't get into the technical details.
Sorry.
Dependency matrix.
I felt like
I just dropped into Star Trek or something. There's magic.
It just works.
It works. So once you have the script loader, you can do things like this statement right here where you say sys.require.
Yep.
And
I'm
saying, hey, I want a watermark. Go figure it out. Go off and get me the necessary scripts.
Yep.
And this is a callback function right here.
So when it is loaded, when it's ready.
That's right, exactly. When it's ready, it can go ahead now and look at this nice little syntax right here. This
is
much shorter.
A lot cleaner.
Yeah, look at that. And so that creates the watermark. That's all you need. There's no more code hiding in the page. That, you know, creates a watermark. And, I got to show you this.
Drum roll.
Yeah, here we go. I want to show you that you get full in IntelliSense.
You're no longer in the dark.
I now know what I'm doing. You're going to love all these. Look at all these. Ooh, accordion, calendar, autocomplete, always visible. Man, isn't this beautiful?
Wow.
Yep.
All
pops up.
I didn't realize JavaScript could be sexy, but you've just proven to me today that it is.
Very cool. So to show you that this actually works, I should run it. There we go.
That's a watermark.
That's the watermark. Clicking it, da-da-da. Anyway, so it works as a watermark.
Excellent.
So remember, there are I need to count the number of client controls we have, but there's you know, a lot of them.
Less than 40, but more than 30. Yeah,
exactly. Something in there, I don't know. A lot of them, but the watermark is, you know, it's a good control, but it's pretty simple. So I want to show you an example of a slightly more complex client control.
Please do. Which one are we going to take a look at?
We're going to look at the autocomplete.
Autocomplete.
Yeah, it's a super useful one. I've used it in a lot of projects in the past.
Uh-huh.
So the autocomplete control, what it allows you to do is, you know, show suggestions as you type in a text box. Well, everyone's seen it, you know. Let me go ahead and run it. and this can go against a database. In this case, I just wrote a WCF service that's returning the suggestions. And it's a movie service, so it's returning movie names.
What movies have we got in the database?
Let's find out. Let's see. If I type in S, I get, you know, Star Wars, Superman. These are the only ones I can think of.
Those are your favorite movies.
There you go.
Especially the last one. Cool. Excellent movies.
Yeah, very good. So anyway, so notice it is actually working as an autocomplete.
Nice.
And it's worth emphasizing here again that this will all work in VC, because notice that we're all pure client-side here. So you could do this in MVC. You might even notice that we're working right now in an HTML page. You look up here, it says HTML.
So no server-side stuff going on whatsoever.
No, yep.
And we've also, if you look in the sys.require method, yeah, we've got sys.components.autocomplete, which is the control itself, and then yep, also bringing in the data context. Because,
exactly,
of course, we need that yep to grab the data from the
exactly
service.
Exactly. Yep. Yep.
Makes
and
sense.
It takes care of everything else for us.
Cool. And we can actually bring in our own scripts using the script loader, right, as well?
Absolutely,
so
yeah,
you can set up your own dependencies,
your
own modular libraries.
We even have a load scripts method that you can call and
nice
pull in scripts. So, yeah, so you have a lot of options for pulling in custom scripts if you need.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So what's next?
Last thing I want to show you. So we know that a lot, especially MVC developers, are passionate about jQuery,
mm-hmm,
and for good reason. I like jQuery. jQuery is just a beautiful, you know, JavaScript programming language. It has a really passionate community behind it. It's open source.
Yep.
And so we want to enable MVC developers to take advantage of all this great data access technology that I've been showing you, and the whole, you know, AJAX control toolkit stuff, all that stuff, without having to change their programming style.
Right.
So what we've done is we've exposed all of our controls as jQuery plugins automatically.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
So you can do, you know, all the data access stuff I was showing you, you can do that in jQuery if you want to.
Nice.
All the AJAX control toolkit control stuff, you can do from jQuery.
Let's see it.
There we go. And there we go. So notice I'm loading up jQuery up here,
mm-hmm,
as the first script. I could also load it up using the script loader if I wanted to.
You can also grab it from the CDN.
There you go.
So many
I should
options
have done that, yeah. So I have jQuery. And then notice I'm still using the script loader because I want to, in this case, use a data view control. So I want to get all the necessary scripts. So this all, you know, all this stuff works great together. And just to show you, I do get full IntelliSense. So I'm going to use a jQuery selector.
Uh-huh.
That selects out the ASDF tag.
Yep, that's a very common one.
And look at this. We should get the data view control down here. There it is, data view control. So all of the controls that we've loaded up are automatically exposed out now as plugins, jQuery plugins, just like any other, you know, jQuery plugin. So, you know, I can run this, and this is just going to show the images again.
Excellent.
And I should point out that one reason people really love jQuery is it supports something called chaining.
Uh-huh.
And chaining, what that allows you to do is you get a wrap set back from a jQuery selector, then you can do, you know, another operation on that same wrap set, and so you can chain a bunch of operations together like this. So in this case, what I'm doing is I'm grabbing all the input tags using a jQuery selector.
Yep.
I'm making them all into watermarks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm using the jQuery CSS method call to change the background color of all the watermarks to yellow. And that all just works.
Nice.
So I have a bunch of...
That's a really nice feature in jQuery, I have to say. It's a pretty cool thing.
So I have a bunch of input tags down here, and they all are going to turn into watermarks and get yellow backgrounds. Beautiful.
Excellent.
Yep.
So the jQuery library, we've got a lot of support for that. Some of the main things it's really good at,
yeah,
the like really advanced selection.
Yeah. It has a fantastic selector syntax. Yeah.
Yeah. The chaining.
Yep.
It does chaining really good.
Yep.
And then also the rich set of controls and
yep,
UI plugins.
Yeah,
it
yeah
has. Awesome.
jQuery UI. Fantastic
and
library, yeah.
From the Microsoft AJAX library
yeah
side of thing, which is completely interoperable
yeah
with jQuery.
Yep.
We have very, very powerful data access.
That's right.
And also really powerful script loading as well.
Exactly.
And the CDN.
Yep, and the CDN. And all the AJAX control toolkit controls.
So together, like,
yeah,
it's a pretty good tool.
Yeah, yeah.
jQuery plus Microsoft AJAX library for creating
absolutely
these rich applications
yep
on the client side.
And we don't make you change your programming style.
Very important.
You're a hardcore jQuery developer. We know you're not going to change, so, you know.
There you go.
Code on.
Yeah, rock and roll. Excellent. So we've seen some fantastic demos.
Yep.
Thank you for showing those
yep
to us. We've heard about these three announcements.
Yep.
The Coplex Foundation.
Yep.
The ACT stuff going client side.
Yep.
And then the third one. What was the third one? I forgot.
Oh, and merging of the Ajax Control Toolkit and the Microsoft Ajax Library.
Oh, we've done that one, haven't we?
I don't know. It was something. It was some. Oh, support.
Support.
Yeah,
support.
It was something fantastic. Support. I just, you know, there's so many great announcements.
There you go. Yeah. So we provide complete support for all of that stuff, even though it's open source. Fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
So where do I go to get my hands on these goods?
That's a great question. So as you mentioned, you could go to the CDN. This is all hosted up there, so mm-hmm. you can use it just by putting some script tags in. But if you want to download this stuff and play with it, it's in beta right now. I should emphasize that. Mm-hmm. So msajax.codeplex.com. That's where you want to go. You can download the latest bits. And if you want to learn how to use this stuff, always very important, we have sample code and tutorials at this website right here, at the ASP.NET Ajax website.
That's cool. So what other kind of documentation have we got available now for people?
So we have all of the reference documentation for the API, so you can see all the methods and properties. And we have a set of tutorials. And we also have some sample applications that people can download, like the image organizer application.
Fantastic. All right. Yeah. So hit those websites, go download the stuff. Some really great enhancements, great features, and fantastic announcements to make today. So, Stephen, thanks for spending the time with us.
Absolutely. It was fun.
Pleasure.